This in the whole class today is on the board, so if you're listening in on the tape, you'll just have to strongly suggest writing down the notes as you hear them. Mos Shalom, remind me to write you here afterwards. All languages, aside from Hebrew, are social agreement. Everyone agrees that this is called a table and this is called a chair. But theoretically, if everybody would know about it, we could change it. Because there is no tableness in this object. There is no charity in this object, right? On the other hand, Hebrew is Hashem's language. It's the language with which he created the world. And Gabi, you're also in the class on, also Yuval, in the class where we learn about religious Zionism, and we're learning about the Hebrew language, you'll have a deeper appreciation of what the Hebrew language is. Because just like our land is not just real estate, it's the Holy Land. Our language is not just a language like English or French, it is the Holy Language, Lashon HaKodesh. And you should know that in Balei Tshuva yeshivas, one of the quickest and most effective ways of convincing a person within a half hour that there is a spiritual element to the world is through Kabbalah. And that's why even though the general custom is not to learn Kabbalah until you're married, today the Rabbanim say that we have to use every weapon at our disposal to bring people close to Torah, to turn them on. And hopefully within one class, you'll see why it's so beautiful and why it's so convincing. It's sort of lahavdil, like in chemistry, right? In chemistry, if you write hydrogen, if you know what hydrogen is, you know what 2 is, you know what oxygen is, you know that this could only mean water, right? So too, if you understand what mem is, you'll understand that it can only be mine. Just like if you understand what kaf samech aleph is, this could only be a kisei. And that's why in a godly language, things are essential. Now, I'll already tell you, and that's what I meant when I pointed out to Molly, the beauty of this class will be through seeing as many examples as possible. Because I could tell you, when I learned it for the first time, my first reaction is, that's a coincidence. That's also a coincidence. After 10 examples, they're all coincidences. After 20, 30, 40, 100, 200, the more examples you see, the more you realize, hey, this is not a coincidence, right? It is systematic. And that is why the beauty of this class will be, we're going to try and do this quickly to cover as many examples as we can to show you that it's not a coincidence, okay? And we'll start with the letter Aleph, but it's the same thing with all letters of the alphabet. Every letter, and I strongly suggest you take notes here because to really appreciate it, and afterwards you'll probably want to remember it, is by having a summary. Okay, we'll start with the letter Aleph. Aleph looks like this. This is a halachic Aleph in the Sefer Torah. Aleph, as the first letter in the alphabet, obviously symbolizes, what is number one in Judaism?
Hashem.
Echad biyodea. There is only one, right? If I were to ask, how many fingers? You might say one, but it's really 1 out of 10. Or it's really one which can be divided into 3. And everything in the physical world can be divided, right? Even each joint can be divided into skin and bone and blood, and right? And then you can break that down and break that down, and you break down a cell, and then you can even break that down. Everything in the physical world is divisible. The only thing which is totally one and indivisible is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whenever you see the letter Aleph, you should know that it is talking about God. Now, when talking about something in any language, Even if you understand that the letter, even what we're talking about is doing a taste of Kabbalah.
Oh.
And I strongly suggest you take good notes, because the beauty is through seeing hundreds of examples. Okay? Even if I know that the letter Aleph means God, like in English, if I know what the word like means, right? But if I add a prefix, dislike or unlike, it changes it 180 degrees, right, to the opposite. The same thing, even if I know what a letter means, that doesn't necessarily mean that I understand every word, because it all depends on what the other letters are doing to it. You all with me? Okay. So in every letter in the alphabet in the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, by the end of class, I hope you'll have that much more motivation to learn Hebrew. And for Evie, this will, I told Gabi before, it will add on to what we're learning about the importance in the other class of how speaking Hebrew gives, Chazal say, gives you a share in the world to come, and it gives you a long life, and it gives you, brings the geula, right? Learning Hebrew is a big thing in Judaism. Okay, so Aleph is one. Why is it called Aleph? It comes from the word aluf. Aluf is a champion. For example, the number one chess player in the world, a champion of chess, is called aluf ha-shachmat. Aluf ha-igruf. A general in the army is called aluf because he's like the number one soldier. Now, why is aleph called from the word aluf? Because the champion is number one. Right? God is the champion. He's the number one of the world. So that's why it's called Aleph. Now, also, every letter can be broken down, and it is broken down, into three letters. So Aleph is really Aleph, Lamed, Peh. Now, Aleph is one, as we said. How much is Lamed?
30.
Yafet. Together, 31. And Peh?
50.
300.
80. 80 and 31. What's 80 and 31? 111.
1, 1, 1.
Girls, you catch that? 111. Aleph is, every aspect of the Aleph brings you back to 111.
That's so cool.
Hashem. Okay? Also, the shape of the Aleph. The shape of the Aleph, to be kosher in a Sefer Torah, has to be comprised of a Vav, a Yud, and a Yud. What does this remind you? Vav, Yud, and Yud. What do these letters remind you of?
One.
Hashem's name. Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Yud is 10, 20, 26. Which is the most important number in Judaism, aside from one, but it really is one.
Wait, how did we get 111 for Allah? Because Laman and Pe...
The number, the gematria of all of it is 111.
Oh, combined. So yeah, combined together.
80, 31. Together, 111. The shape also brings us back to Hashem. Everything brings in the Aleph brings us back to Hashem.
Wait, the shape of what? Of what?
The shape of the Aleph is Vav, Yud, right, and Yud.
What is 26? Like, why?
26 is Yud, K, Vav, K.
That's why it's the most
10,
important.
15, 21, 26.
Is that why it's most important?
Yeah. Okay. Y'all see how it works? Okay. So every aspect of the Bet and Gimel and every aspect of every letter are all consistent to the deeper meaning of that letter. Always look at its place in the Aleph Bet, its name, the three letters that comprise it, and its shape. And also, now we're going to talk about its usage, because this maybe is the most important thing. Okay? We all know that a person, Adam HaRishon, the first person, was called Adam. There's another word in Hebrew for a person, and that is
Ish.
Ish. And there's another word, today we don't use it that much, Enosh. You find it in the Tanakh sometimes. Now, the common denominator between all words for people are they all begin with Aleph. because every person has an aleph. What is Evie's aleph? What is your spark of God?
Tzelem
Elokim, your neshama. Okay? So every person has a soul, has a neshama, which he gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, and this is an important but, Chevra, in English, as in most languages, words come from many different languages. So there are a lot of synonyms in English. You have a lot of things which really mean the same thing, because one word comes from Germany, the other word comes from France, the other word comes from Latin. But there are a lot of words which are identical in English. In Hebrew, there are no two words which are identical, because Aleph Dam is different from Aleph Yesh, which is different from Aleph Nash. There's no such thing as any two words which are exactly identical. Okay, they're similar. They all begin with Aleph because every person has an Aleph. Every person also, together with his Neshama, also has a body. The body is symbolized by Dam. What is Dam?
Blood.
Blood. Because as long as your blood is functioning, your body is functioning. So the word Adam is somebody who has a body, he has a soul. By the way, you remember there's a Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin that says, Shlosha shutafin be'adam. Every Adam has three partners. Anybody remember?
Chava.
Your mother. Your father. And Hashem. Whereas Hashem is the one who contributes the soul. That is what Molly said. That's a Tzelem Elokim. Your spark of God, your Aleph, that is Hashem's contribution. Where do you get your body from? That you get from your Av and from your Im. Okay, your father and your mother. So these are the three partners in making up every Adam. Now, when does a person become an Av? When did I turn from being an Adam?
When your kid is born.
Exactly. Watch this. Have a look at the board. When do I become an Aleph, a first generation? When I have a Bet, a second generation. Okay? So every Av is the first generation, but he only is the first generation when he has the second generation. So the word Av is a very logical word. By the way, the word Abba is like in English, daddy. The real word is Av. Abba is like a slang. Okay? Did you catch that? Okay. Now, when does a woman become an Im? When she is a Mem. What is a Mem? When I say, Ani Ba mi kochav hashachar.
Like from somewhere.
Exactly. You, when you become a source and something comes from you, right? Ani mi midreshet moria. Right? That's where you come from. When a woman becomes a source of life, that's when she gets a mem. So, av is a very logical word. Em is a very logical word. This is our body. Our dam comes from their father and the mother. Av is 3. Em is 41. Together, that's 44, which equals dam. What also is 44? Yelid. 10, 44. Okay? You'll see that? And again, at this point, somebody could say, oh, that's a coincidence. Oh, well, there's a coincidence, right? But the more examples you'll see, the more you'll see it's not a coincidence. Let's go on. What type of person, anybody take an educated guess, what type of person is called in the Tanakh, not Adam, but Ish? Aleph, Ish. Noach is called the Ish. Why? Because he has his Aleph. Yesh is, he has it. Some people theoretically have a godly neshama. Every person has theoretically an Aleph. Some people realize their Aleph. So when Mordechai is also called Ish Yehudi Hayabashushana Bira, Whenever something is called the Ish, that is, he is a great person. He is Aleph Yesh. Okay? As opposed to Adam, who just has a body and a soul, doesn't do much with it, Ish is somebody who develops his Aleph, his godliness. Okay? Now, to understand when is the term Enosh used, I'll show you another trick, a very important rule in Hebrew, that verbs go in families. So if I want to understand what is Enosh, just like we spent 15 minutes on Aleph, I could spend another 15 minutes on Nun, another 15 minutes on Chin, which take a lot of time. There's a shortcut. Look at the Nash family, and that will help you understand what an Enosh is. The Hebrew language is based on verbs. And this is a matter of principle, because a person is who his actions are. A person can talk about being great and being honest, but if he's not altruistic and he doesn't do honest things, he ain't honest, right? You are who your actions are. And that's why in Judaism, Hashem decided that the language revolves around verbs, actions. Can somebody remember any verbs that begin with Nun Shin? And then we'll look at the common denominator of the Nun Shin family.
Nasa.
A sin is like part Shin and part Samech. Well, we're in this class, we're just going to do like simple things that we can do quickly. Does that? What is Linashik?
Kiss.
To kiss. Okay. Write down these examples, because I'm going to ask you, what is the common denominator? Does anybody know what is Linshom?
To breathe.
To breathe. Okay. Now, there is also Linshof. Linshom is to breathe in. But if you go to a philharmonic orchestra, you will see the Klein Nishifa, trumpets, flutes, right? Anything that you blow into is called Nishifa, where Nishima is to blow in, Nishifa is to blow out. You may remember the Torah talks about a Rotzeach B'Shogeg, somebody who kills somebody by accident. And it tells the story of a guy who's chopping wood with an axe, and the head of the axe flies off and kills somebody by accident. That is called Nashal. Nashal is to fly off. Okay? Similarly, when a person loses their hair, that is called Nosher. Or when leaves fall from a tree during autumn, that's called Nishira. Okay, we have enough examples. Ah, there's another good example. Is anybody, maybe you know the song, HaRuach Noshevet Krira. No? Finjan? But you say, Mashiv HaRuach Morida Geshem, right? But a lot of people, unless you know Dikduk, you might not realize that the Shoresh is Nun Shin Bet. What is Mashiv HaRuach?
Return.
Hashem blows the wind. Okay? So now I'm just going to do a quick review, and I'm going to ask you, what is the common denominator between all of the verbs in this family? To kiss, to breathe, to blow out, to fly off, to drop, to blow.
It's an action.
It's an action. Let's be a little more... all verbs are actions, but let's try and be as exact as we can.
It has to do with us. Breathing, like...
Right, what are the common... What's the common denominator between all of these? Breathing,
like positive,
blowing... They're...
It's about our mouth?
They all have to do with blowing. Why... What is the job of the wind? Why does Hashem create the wind? It moves the clouds from here to there, so it will bring rain, right? It moves seeds... It blows seeds from here, so you should have a tree there also, right? To move something through blowing, that is the Nun Shin family. So the Nashek, it's sort of like breathing, right? You give off a kiss as opposed to a chibuk, a hug, where you bring something to you. Here you are blowing off, right? Also you can blow a kiss like that, right? So this is the same thing when you breathe in. You take the air from outside and you breathe it into your lungs. If you do the opposite, you take the air in your lungs and you blow it out. The head of the axe started on the axe and it flew off. It left its original place. The leaves, or my hair, started on my head or started on the tree and it falls off. To blow and to move things from their original place, that is the Nunchin family. Now, if I were to ask you, Mali.
Mali.
Your Hebrew name is Malka?
Liba Malka.
Ah, got it. Okay, would you like to take an educated guess? What type of person is called Aleph Nash? What do we say the Nash family is? To blow or to move somebody who has moved from his Aleph, somebody who has left his Aleph. So a Enosh is going to be
like
a Rasha.
Oh.
An Ish is going to be a Tzadik. An Adam is somebody in the middle. He has a body, he has a soul. You know, not bad, not good. Okay, you'll see how this works? I'll give you another example, again, so you should see that it's not a coincidence. Molly, when do you have to leave?
I have to leave in 13 minutes.
Okay. We're going to move quickly. The Mem Chet family. Anybody remember verbs that begin with Mem Chet? What is Limchok?
To erase.
Erase. Good. What is Limchol?
To forgive.
To forgive. Yafet. To protest is limchot. To get rid of an opponent, like in sports, is called limchot. There's another example, but I'm going to put it in parentheses, at least for a minute, because I'll have to explain how this is connected. At first, it might throw you off. But let's look at the first four examples. Can somebody see what's the common denominator between to erase, forgive, change a decision?
It's all like stuff of tshuva.
Yeah, but what is tshuva about? Or to obliterate
to an
opponent.
About like moving on, kind of.
It is
forgiveness, like a full like
changing yourself.
It's to erase. When you erase writing, it's called mechika. To erase a sin is mechila. To erase a decision is limchot. To erase an opponent is limchot. Limchot, memchet aleph, is to clap. But, why did I put this in parentheses? Today in the Western world, a person, we clap when we approve of something, right? In the olden days, and you see this in Chazal, in the Mishnah, people used to clap when they were upset. Bilam, for example, when he doesn't succeed in cursing Am Yisrael, he claps his hands. If you go to a Muslim funeral, the women clap. They're not applauding, right? But they want to do away, again, just like you want to do away with writing, you want to do away with a sin, they want to do away with something that just happened. Okay? So this is the Memchet family, to do away with something. And another example, again, so that you should see that it's not a coincidence, the Peresh family. What's good about this family is there are a lot of examples, and the more examples, the more you see that it's not a coincidence. Okay? Anybody?
Parash.
Lifrosh. What does Lifrosh mean at Sibur? To separate yourself from the community.
Also like Parad. Also Parad means like Lifrod.
Lifro, pruervu, is to multiply. What's that called in the vegetable world? It's called Lifroach, to flourish. Okay? Does anybody know how do you say a chapter in a
perek.
Book? In a perek. And it comes from the word lifarik, is to take apart something. right? My son will tell his younger brother, Ani afarik lecha et haparzuf. I'm going to take your face apart, right? Or farik lecha tatzura. When you take a watch apart, that's called lefarik. Does anybody know what a lifros or a prusa is?
Like a slice of bread?
A slice, exactly. When you slice bread, a slice is a prusa. The action, the verb, is lifros. Do you know this one? Ufaratzta, ufaratzta. Right? What is lifrots? To spread out. Ufaratzta yama vakedma tzafona vanegba. Spread out in all the different directions.
Well, like in Shmo, by your boom, by your foot, too.
Does anybody know what it is, lifaret, or the noun prat?
Detail.
To detail, yafet. In other words, when you take a general idea and you detail it into small details, that is lifaret. Just like when you take a book and you divide it into smaller chapters, that's lifarik. By the way, just yesterday, I bought a cup of coffee, and I asked the saleswoman if she could break down. She gave me a 5 shekel coin. I don't know if you, have you ever heard the minhag to give 3 coins a day in tzedakah?
Yeah.
By the way, that's also connected with Kabbalah, because 3 is the word, is gimel. What is likmol, gemilut chasadim, is to give. So the idea, that's the custom, to give 3 different coins. Okay. Anyway, so I asked her if she could please break it down into a smaller coin, into individual coins, so we'll have a lot to give to tzedakah. Right? It's good to know if you get on a bus, right, and you don't have a rafkav, and all you have is a 50 shekel, you ask him, do you have a taichol lifrotli? Can you break down a larger bill into a smaller change? Okay, that's called lifrot. What is lehafrid?
To separate?
To separate.
That's what I was saying before. Like, hafrada.
Right. If you got, two kids are wrestling with each other, fighting, and the teacher comes, lehafrid.
Didn't you already write that over there?
Where?
No,
that's lefrots. I'm sorry, my Dalit and my Tzadi look similar. I had a problem with that in first grade also. This is larger. When it says by the sons of Aaron, when they die, Nadav and Avihu die, it says, Hashem tells them, you shall not tear your clothing. But it doesn't say likroa, it says, bigadcha lo tifrom. Tifrom is to tear your clothing. Or if you remember in Megillat Esther, a city which has an open wall is called the Ir Prazi. Anybody remember Eshet Sota, woman who's accused of not being faithful to her husband? And it says they bring her to the Beit HaMikdash. Ufara et Rosh HaIsha. It's also to reveal and also to scatter her hair. They open her hair. Women used to have like braids under the hair covering. And so they not only would reveal her hair, but they would not scatter. How do you say?
Spread out.
Okay? So that's Ufara et Rosh HaYisha. Okay, good. So we have a lot of examples. And again, the more examples you have, the more convincing it is that it's not just a coincidence. Okay? Chevra, let us go quickly and look. Did anybody notice what is the common denominator between all of these verbs?
Dividing, separating.
Fantastic. It's to separate. Can anybody be just a drop more specific? To break down into smaller units.
So to like break something big.
What?
To categorize?
Not so much to categorize, to break it down into smaller units.
To divide.
Yeah, to divide. Okay, so that's what you meant, divide.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. So somebody is part of a community, and then he wants to leave the tzibur and he wants to be an individual. Okay? He has divided from the large community. You start with a father and mother, or male and female, And they multiply into many, many little children. Okay? In the vegetable world, is to call to lifrach. What is a perach?
It's to bloom, a flower.
Right. And that's the word, to flourish. Yeah. Right? To have a lot of small flowers. They also, in the vegetable world, you have a male and a female, right? So that's also many smaller units to divide. You take a book and you divide it into smaller chapters, right? Or you take a machine and you take it apart into smaller pieces. You take a pizza or a loaf of bread and you slice it into smaller, divide it into smaller pieces. You take everyone's together and then they spread out into different directions. Again, they're breaking up into smaller units. You take a general idea and then you break it down into details. Or again, you take a 50 shekel note and you break it down into single shekelim, right? You take two kids who are wrestling and you separate them into smaller units. By the way, it's interesting, a pered in Hebrew is a mule. What is a mule?
What type of donkey?
It's a, when you mate a donkey and a horse together, they have a mule who takes the good traits from both, but you're not allowed to do it halachically, right? That's what's called kilayim, right? Not allowed to mate two different animals. It's also interesting that why is it called pered? Pereds cannot multiply. They're lone. Biologically, the only way you can have a pered is not through two pereds, but to have a horse and a donkey.
Can they Can they not, like, multiply, though? After, right. Let's say a mule and a mule.
No, they can't. That's the point.
And a mule and a horse.
That I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Wait,
you know,
a mule and a mule can't
multiply. Tell me next week.
I was just interested.
A mule and a mule can't multiply together?
Right.
They can't have children.
Like,
and that's why it's called biologically.
Wow, that's so interesting.
That's why they're called nifrat, because they're, like, separated.
Mm-hmm.
Alone, right? Again, a smaller unit. Lifrom, you start out with one shirt, you tear it into two. You start out with one walled city, it's broken into two. The hair is grouped together in a bunch or a braid or whatever you call it, and then it's scattered, ufara. Okay? Chevra, this cannot be a coincidence, right? So now you see how the verbs work. Let's do another letter, because we're running out of time. Let's do the letter mem. The letter mem is very connected with women, as we will see. We mentioned before that when does a woman become a mem?
When she becomes a source.
Right. Mem is where you become a source, where you come from. Okay? Now, that's what it does. That's its usage. Its name is written Mem, Yud, Mem. It's not Mem, Mem. It's Mem, Yud, Mem. All letters have three letters. Chevra, what does this remind you of? What is Mem, Yud, Mem?
Mayim.
Water. What is the numerical value of Mem?
40.
Yafe. And what does water do in the halacha?
It's a source of like plants and everything.
Right, so that's in literature, water is called the source of life. Okay, but in halacha, when you do netilat yadayim, when a woman goes to a mikvah, what does it do?
Purifies.
But I'm not going to call it purify, because again, the word in Hebrew is tahara, which is not, that's the problem with translating. As soon as you leave Lashon HaKodesh, things are less exact. Okay? Now, what is tahara? I said it's usually translated as pure, but to really understand it, let's start with what is tumah, because we know that tahara is the opposite of tumah. What is the highest form of tumah? The worst case of tumah? A dead person.
Dead body.
Right, a dead body. Even if you don't touch it, even if you're in the same building, a kohen cannot be in the same building as death. The same thing, a dead insect is also tameh. a woman in Nida.
You'll know what Nida is?
Yeah.
A woman who, in a certain month, could have conceived life, but did not conceive life. In other words, Tuma is, as we will see, it is a lack of life. Okay? So Nida is what who could have but did not conceive life. Interesting, it doesn't make a difference today because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash, but even if a woman is impregnated by a man, he has the Tuma of Zav. Why?
What does it mean, Tumas? What does it mean?
It's a certain level of Tuma. He has to undergo a process to become Tahor. Azav is when you have semen, sperm. Even if it does impregnate a woman, there are millions of sperm cells that could have caused life, but didn't. So that's also a lack of life. What other forms of Tuma are you familiar with? Every morning. Why do we do Netilat Yadayim when you wake up? Sleep is considered 1/60th of life. And as if it were your soul leaves your body and you're born anew. Do you people know that when you cut your nails or you get a haircut, you're supposed to wash your hands? You don't need a cup and it doesn't need three times. Yeah?
In New York, at the salon, they also ask you to wash your hands. I don't think it's for that reason.
What, going?
Yeah, but I don't think it's for that reason.
Interesting. Very interesting. Right, when you get a haircut or you cut your nails, the nails were connected with life and now there's a lack of life. Your hair was connected to life and now it's a lack of life.
What about when men shave?
Same thing. Also, you have to wash their hands. Good. Add that on. By the way, here's an interesting... Once you understand Kabbalah, you'll understand a lot of details in Halakha. For example, say you, Bezrat Hashem, you should all have children, and you cut your nails, or your husband cuts their nails on Friday afternoon. Who has to wash their hands, the child or the person who cut them?
Both. So it's a first one.
The child. Exactly.
Isn't it if someone's pregnant in your house, you have to like cut your nails? Like
you have to make sure that they don't see nails cut on the...
Yeah.
Just yesterday, on my website, somebody asked me, she said a woman says she has a cat, and sometimes she cuts his nails, and she wants to know, is it the same thing with a pregnant woman, a problem for her to see nails? But that is definitely connected.
Why is that bad?
Because, again... Nails, which are cut from the body, is a lack of life. This woman who's pregnant, she is dealing with life.
So women shouldn't be pregnant women shouldn't be allowed to get a haircut, if that's what it's saying.
It's not there. The answer is there are different levels of life, but you are right. Pregnant women, usually, the custom is, it's no prohibition, do not go into the cemetery. Women in general.
Yeah.
There's a Yerushalmi minhag.
That's how everyone found out my cousin was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And she was only like a few weeks.
Oh my gosh!
Also,
my cousin pregnant too.
It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that a woman during her period also doesn't go to a cemetery. Unless she's going to be embarrassed. Say like there's a family's funeral and if you don't show up it's going to be embarrassing. Right? People will notice. So then because it's tzniut, so you do go.
Why during period? I thought that she herself was losing a little bit of, I guess, like a potential life. So why is it?
Because that's too much. When you go into a cemetery, that's the highest level of tumah.
Mm-hmm.
And you get too much tumah.
But there's so much around you.
Of tumah.
So why is it?
Yeah, well, we do the best that we can. And also there are different levels. Yeah.
Even if, like, you... cut like brow hair, which should also be washed after.
What hair?
Like if you get like your brows
go. Oh yeah, same thing. It's also because it's a lack of life. That's also a good example. Chevra, you may remember from the Torah. Again, there's no Beit HaMikdash today, so there's no ramification. A woman after she gives birth is also tamei. Why?
Yeah.
She just gave birth.
Because of the blood.
Not just the blood. She had life in her, and now. It is a lack of life, just like your nails or hair or shaving. Do you all see how it works?
Yeah.
Now, if tuma is a lack of life, what is tahara? Life. Tahara is about life. And now you understand a lot of the laws of mikveh. Why, when a woman goes to a mikveh, a man also, when a person goes to a mikveh, how much water does there have to be in the mikveh?
Six, I don't know.
How much?
It's six.
40.
Oh.
Se'ah.
Se'ah.
Why 40? Because that's what men is about. That's what mine is about. Once you understand Kabbalah, you begin to understand a lot of halachot and details of halachot. Of course, it's not going to be 39 and 41, because if you understand what mem, mayim, water, life, tahara is about, obviously it's going to be 40. You can now take an educated guess. Anybody remember what of the utensils, the kelim and the Beit HaMikdash in the Mishkan, in the Torah, did the women donate? What? The women donated the kior. What is the basin?
It's the what? The basin?
The basin. It's like a sink full of water. Because, yes, women are the source of life. And that's why women donated the basin. And the basin, you can take an educated guess, how much water in the Beit HaMikdash?
40.
Exactly. It's obviously going to be 40.
How much water in the Beit HaMikdash was?
Sorry?
What was
40 baht. Because
okay.
You're right. That's
like wet into the basin, you're saying?
Yeah. It was stored in the basin. Mm-hmm. By the way, our rabbis teach us that the shape of the basin, not only was the shape of the kior, was the kior donated by women, but the shape of the basin looks like a woman's chest. Because chalav, the milk, which the child gets from the, that is the basic source of life. How much is chalav? 8, 38, 40. Okay. How many weeks are there in a pregnancy?
40 days.
Wait, 40?
Wait, no,
it's not. No,
it's
38. Is it 40? 38 is when it becomes
7.
2 months?
No.
No.
40
days
weeks.
40 weeks, yeah. It's like 40 days.
No, 40 weeks. By the way, once you mention 40 days,
40 days 40
there
nights.
Is interesting. Chazal say that when does the neshama come into the baby? On the 40th
day.
40.
Oh, yeah.
For example, if a woman has to have an abortion, so it has to be before the 40th day, because the 40th day, that's when you begin to rise to a higher level of life.
Wait, so halachically you can have an abortion?
Not allowed.
No,
you
have to
ask,
go through a lot of life.
You have to
question, you have to see if you...
Yeah.
But after 40 days, you for sure can't?
You always ask a rav. Always ask a rav.
I mean,
but, for example, if they know that the baby has Down syndrome or something like that, it's better to do before the 40th day.
Yeah.
Okay?
If the baby has, like, some sort of illness, then you could just do it like that's not...
You always have to ask a posek question. This isn't a class in halacha, but I'm just saying that's because the number 40 is connected with life. We started mentioning before, a mikveh has to have 40 sa'ah to be kosher. When does a woman go to the mikveh? You go in the middle of your cycle.
In the middle? That one's older.
There are seven days, usually 5 days where you see blood, and then 7 days of Shiva Yamim Nekiim. That's 12 days. Then you go to the mikvah on the 13th, sometimes the 14th, sometimes the 15th. It depends on the woman. But the middle of her cycle, that's when she is most capable of conceiving life, of being a source.
How much is chai?
Chai, that's a different issue.
18.
But you also now understand, when you go to the mikvah, why do you have to take off your nail polish? And earrings? Because that's the way you were in the womb. The mikveh is like the womb. And that's why when you go, you learn before you got married, how do you go into the mikveh? You go into a fetal position.
What?
N, that symbolizes... No, the custom is to go like that. Also the Kohen, when they would go to the Kior, the basin of the Beit HaMikdash, it says they would put their right hand on their right foot, left hand on their left foot, which would bring them into the fetal position. Because the whole idea of the mikveh is to be like the womb. And when is a woman born again?
After she comes. Oh, no.
Exactly, when she leaves the mikveh. A lot of people don't realize that. It's not when you go into the water. It's not when you go into the water. Theoretically, you can dunk yourself a million times into the mikveh. Your husband cannot join you there. Right? Because you're tahora when you leave the mikveh.
Someone does have to watch you, right? That right. All your hair
yeah.
from your head.
Yeah, because you have to be totally immersed, like in the womb.
What if only your husband could be there?
What does that mean?
So he can watch you go in, but he can't join you in the mikveh. Because you're only Torah when you leave. Chevra, every single time the number 40 is mentioned in Judaism, the Tanakh, it is always this concept of being born again. You remember the flood was 40 days and 40 nights. Why? Hashem wants to wipe the slate clean. He wants to start the world as if it's being born again.
Matan Torah.
Matan Torah. Also, we were born again. That's also, now you understand why the Torah is likened to water. Amen. And also, when we sinned in the sin of the golden calf, it took another 40 days to get, for Hashem, to wipe the slate clean and to give us a new birth. When we sinned in Chetah Meraglim, what was the punishment? 40 years in the desert. It's always 40. If a person does an avera, in the time of the Sanhedrin, they would give lashes. 40. How many lashes can you get?
40 lashes.
When Yonah comes to the city of Nineveh, and he says, you have 40 days to do tshuva. Because again, what is tshuva about? It is being born again. Every year, you have 30 days in Elul, 10 days of Aser Yimei tshuva, 40 days of tshuva. Bekitzur, the number 40 is always connected. And the more Kabbalah you learn, the more you realize how there is a deeper level of understanding the world. Don't just accept the world at face value. And don't just accept Hebrew as a language. Just like our land is the holy land, our language is the holy language. It's not just some kind of social agreement. You know, I'll just do one more letter just to give you last thing, because this will take just a minute. What is the letter Vav? Does anybody know what is the word Vav? A Vav is a hook. And that's why its shape is shaped like a hook. What does a Vav do, right? When I say Shulchan v'kisei, what does Vav mean? It connects it together. The Vav connects it together. Okay? And just to give you a third example, at least we did Aleph, Mem, Vav, there's a quickie. Okay.